there is a little slip of paper, and I want you to take that out right now. But I want to tell you a little story, first of all. I got lost last week. Normally, most of you know that I walk several times a week. I take a between 3 and 5 mile walk every 4 or 5 times a week. And one of the things that I have in my life is I'm a very routine person. I need routine, and I usually walk pretty much the same route. You know, I've got 2 or 3 different routes that I walk. I've got a 3 mile, a 4 mile, and a 5 mile route, and I know where they are, and I can walk them in my sleep, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, I decided to try something new and adventurous. Yeah. I decided I was going to go out to Riley Trails. How many of you are familiar with Riley Trails? I've never been there. I've lived here 20-some years. And I've never been out on Riley Trails, maybe once a long time ago. But I thought that I would go out and I'd do my walk at Riley Trails. Well, I thought Riley Trails was just one trail kind of in a circle. Did you know that Riley Trails goes all over the which way in there? And they got little signs with color codes and numbers that mean absolutely nothing to me. And so I started out walking and I walked and I walked and I walked. And all of a sudden I came out on a road. And I thought, my goodness, I must have walked completely across Riley Street to whatever street it comes out on. And so I thought, well, if I just go left here, I'll end up at another trailhead and I can take off again. I went left and I came to a corner and there were no street signs there. And I did not know where I was here in Holland, 3 miles from the church. And you know that feeling that the feeling just says, uh-oh. That's the moment I had. I had an uh-oh. And so I thought, well, if I go to the right, I'll be heading north. It was a cloudy, overcast day. I couldn't see the sun where it was. So I ended up going 3 miles. I was going to take a 3 mile walk. I went 3 miles out of my way. I ended up taking almost a 5 mile walk because I couldn't. I got back and I told somebody, I got lost today. They said, how can you get lost? And I said, well, it takes real talent, you know, and not anybody can just get lost at Riley Trails, but I managed to get lost. And they asked me a question. They said, didn't you have your phone with you? Yes. Yes, I did. Why didn't you take out your GPS, find out where you were, and go back on the trail? I don't know. You know, these are really handy little things. I've got it set right here. And right now, I am at 4200 152nd Avenue in Holland, Michigan. Right here. Now, if I had just hauled this baby out, zeroed in on where I was, and I would have known immediately where I was, where I had to go, what route I had to take, all of that kind of stuff. It was all right here in the palm of my hand. We got to know where we're going. We've got to know what direction we're going to take. As a church, we need to understand that there is a direction that we're all going in together so that we all have the same destination at the same place at the same time. Now, I want to try a little routine, a little stunt here, if you want to call it that. In your bulletin, there is a little sheet that looks just like that. I want you to take a second and just write out the answer to that question. North Point Assembly of God exists too. Just whatever comes into your mind, there's no right answers, there's no wrong answers. Just whatever happens to catch your fancy, just write that out. I want Pastor Mike and Pastor Matt to come and just stand at the head of the aisle here. And as soon as you finish that, I want you to hand these two sections, I want you to hand it this way, okay? These two sections, I want you to hand it this way. Sandy, you have a problem? Okay. All right. If you didn't get one, you can share with your neighbor, whatever. But I just want you to take a minute and write that out. Whatever comes into your mind, North Point exists too. All right, got a few more? Pass it this way. This way. This way. To the aisle where the people are standing. Eric, I need the red and the green turned on. Any more? Hold on. It's not an essay question. It's also, by the way, just want to point this out, it's not a complaint session, okay? I wish the pastor would, you know, wear shorts or something like that. Hey, I got good legs. No, I'm not going to show you.
Why he said that and gave me a mic, I don't know. I'll behave.
Thank you. All right. Okay, these guys have been kind of coming through them. We're not going to read them all, but I just want these guys to pick out some that are kind of whatever jumps out at you and read them. So, Mike, you got one?
North Point Assembly of God exists to love God and love people.
Okay.
North Point exists to help serve others.
All right.
North Point exists to serve.
North Point exists to advance the gospel.
North Point Assembly of God exists for me.
It exists to be salt and light.
To help Christians grow in their walk and minister to others, as well as evangelize our community, our state, and the world.
It exists to share God's word.
To spread the good news.
It exists to further your connection with God and the Holy Spirit.
To reach out to love and to help people.
To lead others to Christ and salvation.
To have a place for all to come to seek.
To serve God and serve others.
To glorify God and add to His kingdom.
Okay, all of those are good. There's not one response that was wrong or off base or off chart. But I want you to notice how spread out all of those responses are. One of the things that we need to do here at North Point is we need to be on the same page. Now let me tell you why. This is kind of a mea culpa moment. But let me tell you why those answers were all so different. Even though they were all good answers, even though they were all biblical answers, even though they're all, you know, part of the Great Commission of what we're supposed to do, let me tell you why they were spread out over such a wide area. It is a failure of leadership. One of the things that we have not done well as leaders here at North Point is to make clear the singular purpose of who we are and what we are, and hopefully in the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to cure that problem. We're going to talk about what it means to be a member of North Point, what we are about, what we stand for, what we're trying to accomplish. One of the things that we have to ask ourselves is, do we have a plan? Do we have a plan for the church to grow? Do we have a plan for things to happen here at North Point? When you go on a trip, you need something to make sure that you get where you're going. You need a plan. You need a route. Now, one of the things, especially for some of us older folks, we have a destination in mind. We already know how to get there. We know where we're going and we know what we're doing, but if you or I were to plan a trip to go to Traverse City or to Ludington or to, you know, some faraway Springfield, Missouri, something like that, there's generally about 2 or 3 different ways, even more, that you can take to get there. But we all want to get there together. We all want to go together. This isn't something where you disperse and end up at the same place. We need a map. We need a GPS. And what is our guidebook? What is our map? In the big picture, what is it that leads and guides us wherever we go? Well, that's kind of a simple answer to the question, isn't it? It's the Bible. We want to take God's word. You have to have a standard. You have to have that plan, that map that tells you where you're going, how to get there. All those different things are important to understand. We need to have it at our disposal. It says in Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." Now that's individualistic. That's for you and I also, you know, for each individual that's here. We each need to have a plan that we understand, a guidebook that we have that gets us where we're going. But as a church, we need that too. We need to be together. In Isaiah 30:21, Listen to this. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to go to the right or to the left. God wants us to know that he is willing and able to lead and to guide us wherever we need to be. It's not about our plan for the church. It's about God's plan for the church. And so when we go on a trip, you have to have a guidebook. You have to have a map. You have to have a GPS. And, my Bible's on here too. This is an amazing little piece of technology. But my Bible's on here too, and I could bring it up and show you. But that Bible is our guidebook and our plan for getting where we need to go. When we go on a trip, we have to have a plan. How will we get where we're going? Not only do we need the guidebook, we need to use the guidebook. The Bible is the best-selling book in the history of the world. There's no other book that sold more copies of it than the Bible. And yet it's probably also the most unread book in the world. And, you can figure that out just by listening to people, you know, say things like, well, you know, the Bible says God helps those who help themselves. How many of you know that's not in the Bible? You know, but that's just an indication of how unread the Bible really is. And if I were don't raise your hands on this, but if I were to ask right here in this group, how many of you read your Bible at least once every day this week? I think we'd be kind of surprised at the results that we get. We need to have that Bible. We need to have that plan. Luke 14:28 says, but don't begin until you count the cost, for who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? In other words, you need to have a plan. You need to have a realistic plan on how you're going to accomplish that. That's something that the staff and I have been talking about for the last several months, is where do we want to be a year from now? Where do we want to be 5 years from now? What do we want to see God do? How are we going to accomplish that? And that's a little bit more difficult than maybe you might think it is. But we've been putting together plans and putting together ideas on how we're going to get where we're going. And one of the things that we haven't done in the past is have that destination in mind, that plan in mind of where we're going and what we're doing. And so we need to have a guidebook and we need to have a plan. Over the next 4 or 5 weeks, 5 weeks counting this week, we're going to talk about that plan that we have. We're going to talk about what it means to be part of North Point Assembly of God and all that involves. And to that end, we put together a mission statement and a vision statement. Now, some of you work in corporations where you have mission statements and vision statements. Some of you think they're great ideas. Some of you think that they're wonderful things to have. Some of you wonder why in the world you even have it. Well, we have one because we want it to be the guiding principles of who we are and what we are. A mission statement talks about how we're going to get where we're going. It defines the matter, it defines the purpose and the primary objectives related to our congregation, this congregation, and what it means for us to get to achieve our goals. Now, there's something very distinct about a church our size. Listen, a church our size can do a lot. I mean, if you look, one of the things that we have very well defined in our purposes, I'm kind of surprised it didn't pop up during the North Point Exists thing, is we are a missions-oriented church. We're in the top 7% of world missions giving of all of the Assembly of God churches in the United States for the last several years in a row. If you look around, there's about 150 of us that call this church home. We're considered a medium-sized church in the Assemblies of God. And yet we're in the top 7% when you think of all of the huge churches that are part of the Assemblies of God. We do missions well. We've got that down. But it's not the only thing that we're about. We can't do everything. That's just not possible. We can't cover every area of ministry that there is to do. A church this size just can't do it. A church Grand Rapids First size can't do it. It's just impossible to do. And so what we need to do is define what we're about, what we're doing, and how we're going to achieve that. One of the things that we have done well that we haven't really emphasized is training missionaries and pastors for the work of the ministry. This church has sent out 7 or 8 different missionaries and pastors in the past several years. A church this size has multiplied itself in the ministry of others. That's a great accomplishment. That's something we do well. But we haven't really put it all together in one vision. And so that mission statement that we put together is this. Let's put that slide up there, shall we? Next slide. Next slide. There we go. North Point exists. Here's what we exist for. Number one, to grow spiritually strong people. We want everybody at North Point to have the opportunity to have as much spiritual growth as humanly possible. That's what we're about. That includes things like, first of all, coming to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. That's the first step in becoming spiritually strong. That includes things like being filled with the Holy Spirit. That includes things like learning to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That includes things like winning others to Jesus Christ. That's a spiritually strong person, and we are about developing spiritually strong people. North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people who share God's love. Now that's a broad term that can mean many things, but we share God's love by being Jesus in flesh to the people around us. And it sounds, you know, it can become almost a catchphrase. Well, we just want to share God's love with everybody. But what does that mean? We're going to talk about what that means, how we can become involved both as a church and on an individual basis of sharing God's love with others. North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people who share God's love by building relationships. By building relationships. It's not going to be enough just to show up on Sunday morning. That's not the point of church. That is our gathering point. That's what we do as a part of who we are in Jesus Christ. But the real influencers in society today are people that build relationships. We're going to do that two ways. We're going to do that by building relationships inside the church. One of the reasons we're having this potluck picnic, baptism, communion service is because we want to offer opportunities for you to get together in a relaxed setting where you can get to know the people that you shake hands with every Sunday. Shaking hands is not building a relationship. It's friendly. We want you to do it. I don't want anybody saying, well, I'm not going to build a relationship with you, so I'm not going to shake your hand. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But building a relationship is sharing your life with each other. And one of the things that you cannot do is build a relationship with 1 hour or an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, on Sunday morning. You can't build a relationship. But secondly, building relationships with those outside of the church with the goal of influencing them for Jesus Christ. That was the bulk of Christ's ministry. He spent time with his fellowship with his disciples, building relationships with them. They were very intimate and very close. And there were more disciples than just the 12. There were probably a couple of hundred disciples that followed Jesus around. He invested himself in those 12. But he built those relationships with the people that were around him. But the reason Jesus hung on a cross, the reason Jesus was hated, the reason Jesus was rejected was because he built relationships with ungodly people. He loved them. He cared about them. They weren't just notches on his belt. They were people that he truly was concerned about. And he knew that he had to build relationships in order to do that. We're going to talk about some specific things that are happening here at North Point that you can be a part of to build relationships with people outside of the kingdom of God. So North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people who share God's love by building relationships and living a life that pleases God. Now, another term for that is holiness. And holiness is not keeping a set of rules. We're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail later on. The Ten Commandments are great. The Ten Commandments are our guidelines. It shows us God's will and God's heart. But just kind of ticking them off and saying, well, I've never done that is good enough. Holiness is being set apart for God's own purposes. I've used this definition many times before. What makes someone holy is not the fact that they've kept all the rules, Because Jesus said, I say to you, don't commit adultery, but I also say unto you, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So it's got to go deeper than just not doing the bad things. It has to have a change of character, a change of personality, a change of direction, a change of desire that happens. That's where true holiness comes and kicks in. So North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people who share God's love by building relationships and living a life that pleases God. That's our purpose. That's what we're about. Now, the vision statement is something that tells us about where we want to be. It answers the question, what are we aiming for? What are we trying to do? And our vision statement says this: North Point Assembly of God is a group of spiritually strong believers. We want to be a group of spiritually strong, spiritually mature people. People that are strong and stable, people that have to that rely more on what the Holy Spirit says than what culture says, than what their own spirit says, their own desires say, their own flesh says. All of that kind of stuff needs to come under the subjection of God's Word and God's Holy Spirit. That's what makes a spiritually strong person. And we're going to become that group of spiritually strong people. North Point Assembly of God is a group of spiritually strong believers learning God's Word. Folks, I can't emphasize that enough. One of the things that if you come to North Point for any length of time, you will notice that I use a ton of Scripture in my messages. I don't mean to pat myself on the back for this, but I'm really not a pop philosophy preacher that just takes a phrase that sounds good and, you know, expands on it and then finds a verse that might fit to it and uses that so that I can say I preached a sermon. I remember one time we had a missionary here, and he came up to me afterwards and he said, "Man, you use a lot of Scripture in your preaching, don't you?" And I said, "Thank you. I intend to." You know, the Word of God is the standard for what we believe. The Word of God can do more. Just simply reading the Word of God can do more to convince a person that they need Jesus Christ than all the sermons that I could come up with on my own. And so we're gonna be people that learn God's Word. One of the things that I would love to see is a Bible memorization program here at the church where we begin memorizing Scripture together, memorizing God's Word together. Because you never know, there may come a time when the Word of God is hard to find. I mean, things are kind of headed that way. Slowly but surely. I won't get on that. That's off topic, so I won't get on that. Meeting needs in our community. North Point Assembly of God is a group of spiritually strong believers learning God's Word, meeting needs in our community. We do missions real well. We don't do community service very well. Some of us do. There are some people here this morning that are involved in community service in a great way, and they're doing a wonderful job. One of the things we're going to emphasize more is reaching our Jerusalem for Jesus Christ. There are, you know, Holland is probably one of the most religious, and I don't mean that in a negative way, I mean that in a positive way, but Holland is probably one of the most religious towns in Michigan and in the United States today. Another missionary came by and said, "Man, how many churches you got in this town?" Everywhere I look, there's a church. You know, there's First Assembly of God, North Point Assembly of God, Bethel Assembly of God, Sinai Assembly of God. There's four Assembly of God churches in this town. I don't even know how many Reformed churches there are in this town. And I certainly don't have any idea how many Christian Reformed churches there are in this town. There's Baptist, there's Apostolic, there's all, you know, I mean, there's everything, and there's lots of them. But you know what? There's more unsaved people in Holland than we would ever believe. There are more people. I got the shock of, this was several years ago when we were building this building, but one of the shocks of my life was when we had search service at 2:30 in the afternoon at the Lutheran Church over on, Riley and 120th? Or no, not 120th. Anyway, over there. We had church at 2:30 in the afternoon. So for the first time in my life, because I was raised in church, for the first time in my life, I had Sunday mornings free. I didn't know what to do with myself. I got up and I thought, I got to get to church. No, I don't got to get to church. We don't even have a church yet. And so I live across from D&W. So I walked over to D&W one morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, 10:30 in the morning. It was packed. I thought, it's church time. Why aren't these people at church? And I knew the manager at that time, and I said, wow, you guys are really busy. He said, oh yeah, Sunday morning's our busiest time of the week. Sunday morning is when more people go shopping than any time during the week at that store, at that time anyway. And something just lit up in my head and said, you know what? There's a lot of people that don't go to church. Now, going to church doesn't save you. I'm not saying that. But if you're saved, I believe you want to go to church. I mean, you know, it's kind of like being married. Think about it. You'll get it a little later. You'll get that a little bit later. So North Point Assembly of God is a group of spiritually strong believers learning God's Word, meeting needs in our community, and loving unconditionally. That's a hard one. But loving unconditionally, loving each other unconditionally, loving outsiders unconditionally. God never calls us to do easy things. How many of you discovered that? When God says, "Lay down, take up your cross and follow me," He wasn't saying it's going to be easy to do that. It's a difficult thing. And when He says, love each other, if you obey my commandments, you'll love each other. Love each other, He says over and over again to His disciples. If anybody should have loved each other, it should have been them. But they're constantly bickering with each other. Well, I'm going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven when I get there, guys. I just want you to know. Oh, yeah? Well, what do you think you are? Well, you know, it's hard to love each other. It's not easy to do that. And yet Jesus calls us to love each other, and He calls us to love each other on the outside of the church too. We talked about it. If you didn't hear my message last Sunday on the church's response to the Supreme Court ruling, I kind of go into that a little bit about how we're to love each other that are others that are outside of the church. Listen to it on the internet, and I think you'll get some insight into what I'm talking about, like with that. But one of the things that you're going to see from here on out are these four words: live, love, grow, share. Share, grow, live, love. Share, grow, live, love. Doesn't matter what order they're in, they're all there. But those four phrases exemplify what we're about and what we're to do. If you want a simple understanding of what North Point's purpose is, it's live, love, grow, share. That's what we're about. That's what we're going to be talking about. And these four words are what we're going to expand on over the next 4 weeks. We're going to talk about how we love each other, how we live with each other, how we share the gospel and share our lives with others, and how we grow. When we talk about growing, we talk about growing spiritually. How many of you know anything that's alive grows? No matter how old you are, if you're alive, you're still reproducing cells. You're still growing in some way, shape, or form. I stopped growing quite a few years ago. But, you know, that's not what we're talking about. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. See, that's the goal that we have as pastors. What we want to do is to equip you with what you need in order to grow the body of Christ. We want to equip you so that you can go out and win the lost, so that you can go out, meet needs, so that you can go out, love people, so that you can grow, so that you can share your lives with each other. That's my job as pastor. That's all of the pastor staff: Pastor Matt, Pastor Mike, Pastor Juanita. How many other pastors we got? Alex is training to be a pastor. You know, that's what we're about. That's what we do, and that's what our goal is to equip you. So you are our test. Whether we fail or whether we pass, are you growing? That's not just your responsibility, that's my responsibility too, to see that you're growing. And the goal of it is This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. I want you to pay attention to that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I want you to pay attention to what the goal is. Listen to this. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. We want to know Jesus. We want you to be intimate with Jesus Christ. We want you to have more than a passing knowledge of who the Son of God is. We want you to know Jesus. And so that we will be mature in the Lord. Mature in the Lord. How mature are you in the Lord? Now, that's not a chronological thing that we're talking about. Well, brother, I've been saved 57 years. That means nothing. How close do you know, how closely are you walking with Jesus Christ? What do others say about your life and your relationship with the Lord? Are you mature in the things of God? Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Measuring up to the full and complete standard of Jesus Christ. You know what that simply means? We are to be so much like Jesus that the world notices it. That means that if it surprises people that you are a Christian, you are failing. If someone says to you, "Oh, you're a Christian? I'd have never known it." That should break your heart. It should destroy you. Because it means that you're not strong, that you're not mature, that you're not growing in those things of Jesus Christ. And that's a good question that we all need to ask ourselves this morning is, do people know that I'm an imitator of Jesus Christ? So number one, we're going to grow together. Number two, we're going to share. Now, what pops to your mind when I say share, usually, is we're going to share the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is we're going to share our lives with each other. That we're going to share our lives with each other. Americans are becoming more and more isolated in their living all the time. We've got again, this wonderful little piece of technology. On this journey that we're on, we can stay at home inside the four walls of our house, never touch the skin of another person, and yet somehow contact hundreds of people every day. That is deceitful to me. There's a deceit that's in that, because if you think that is really sharing your life with someone, you're sadly mistaken. You're not sharing your life with someone. You're sharing posts with someone. You're sharing media with someone. But you're not sharing your life with them. Jesus, it says in Matthew 18 through 20, Jesus came to His disciples and He said, "I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the end of the earth." We're to share our lives with each other. And then we're to live with each other. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. He says, "We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too." You can't share the gospel, really, in today's culture, you can't share the gospel without sharing your life with someone. It's just not effective. One of the things that people are desperate for today is relationships. They're looking for somebody that they can turn to in times of need. They're looking for somebody that they can figuratively, live with and have part of their life together and that they can build relationships with. Ephesians 4:16, "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." You know, that's the whole purpose of the church. It's to find your space, find your spot in that great puzzle piece that's called the Church of Jesus Christ and fill that role. Church is not about showing up. Now, if that's all you do, we'll take it, you know. But what church, when church will never be fulfilling if you just show up. It becomes fulfilling when you find your place in that body and you fill that role that God has for you in order to be effective in the ministry of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We need to be people that share our lives with each other and live with each other. And finally, love. We're to love God, we're to love others, and we're to love the outsiders. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." The first one that we're supposed to love is God. And folks, that's you know, he said in another place, that's where all the prophets and the law hangs on these kind of loves that you have. And we're to love God with all of our strength, with all of our soul, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our spirit. That's another good question to ask yourself. How much do I really love God? How much do I really show my love for Him? In 1 John 4, 7 and 8, it says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God, and anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Love is the overriding factor in everything that we say and everything that we do. God called us to love each other. God called us to love those that are outside of the kingdom of God. God called us to love Him first and foremost. So that's where we're going. That's what we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. Grow, share, live, love. How are we going to live those out? How is this church going to exemplify those things? But before we close this morning, I got a few questions that I want to ask you just to kind of wrap all of this up. First of all, I want to ask you the question, what kind of disciple are you? And I'm assuming that question assumes that all of you know Jesus Christ, that you're followers of Him, that you've signed up and you're on board. Now, I'm aware that there may be some people that aren't bought into that yet. You haven't made that commitment. You're not convinced yet. That's okay. I just want you to go along for the ride here for us, okay? What kind of disciple are you? Are you the kind that says, "I feel fine with my spiritual life and I see no need to grow"? Now, I'm not going to ask anybody to kind of cop to the plea to this thing because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I would say that probably the majority of Christians, not just here at North Point, the majority of people who call themselves Christians live in this category. I'm fine. I'm making it. I've confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to heaven, and that's good enough for me. Don't ask me to get involved. Don't ask me to commit my life to anything other than Jesus Christ. That's where I'm at, and that's good enough. That's all that Jesus really requires of me. Kind of reminds me of Revelation 3:17, where Jesus speaks to the church, and He says, "You say, 'I am rich, I have everything I want, I don't need a thing,' and you don't realize that you are wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. There's no deceit like self-deceit." And if you're just kind of coasting on in your power, in your life, in Jesus Christ this morning, I want you to know there is so much more out there for you. You may be getting bored with being a Christian. You may be asking yourself, is this all there really is? Is this, you know, what am I doing? Just kind of biding my time until death comes and I can go to heaven and be with Jesus? No, that's not all there is. There's more to the Christian life than just kind of waiting for heaven to occur. And if that's where you're at this morning, our job is to motivate you. Our job is to get you involved. Our job is to try to get you excited about the kingdom of God here and now and the possibilities that God has more for you right here and right now than anything you can ever imagine. I don't know about you, but I get pumped when I see somebody come to Jesus Christ. I get pumped when I see somebody growing spiritually. I get pumped when I see people, when the light goes on, ping, and I have the greatest job in the world because I get to see that all the time. I got the greatest job in the world because if I don't do it, there are others around here that are doing it, and I get to be observant to that. And that's exciting for me to see things happening in the kingdom of God. If you haven't had anything happen in the kingdom of God, I want to challenge you. Get involved. Get into the water. Find out what's out there for you. Get your gifts in order. You know, be part of what's happening in the kingdom of God. Don't live a spiritually satisfied life. It's deadly. Maybe you're the kind of Christian who says, I want to grow, I just don't know how. I don't know what to do next. I don't know where to go. That's our role also. It says in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, it says, Jesus was once in a certain place praying, and when he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now think about that for a minute. Here's these guys that have been following Jesus around. And when they prayed the common prayers that everybody else prayed, and they prayed faithfully. I'm convinced they were with Jesus. They had set times to pray. They were good Jewish boys. They prayed. But they noticed something when Jesus prayed, that it was different, that it was powerful, that things happened, that nothing stayed the same. And so they went to Jesus and they said, we want to do that. We want to have a prayer life like you have. So Jesus, teach us to pray. Are you spiritually hungry? Maybe you're here this morning and you wish you could do more, but you just don't know the next step to getting there. Our role is to provide training and direction for you to find that sweet spot, if you will, in ministry, and to find out what your gifts are. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't even know what you're good at. God's Word has something for you. The Bible says that He has distributed gifts among the church as the Spirit wills. Why? So that we all have a place in the body of Christ. Every member is a minister here at North Point. We've said that before. We need to start saying it over and over again. But if this is your home church, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's a ministry somewhere for you. You just need to find out what it is. You need to discover what you're good at. You need to discover how to put that into practice. Maybe you're saying, I'm growing, but I need an opportunity to grow more. Maybe you need that place of ministry. Maybe you need that, you know, there are more good ideas here at church than we even know about. Every once in a while, someone will come up to me and say, Pastor, you know what we need here at North Point? And I always get excited when I hear that. But they'll say, we need a ministry to such and such. And my response has usually been the same. Now, I'm not so convinced that I'm always right when I say this, but I will say to them, okay, when are you going to head that up? Well, I'm just an idea person. No. God gives you ideas for purpose. God gives you ideas for ministry because He wants to train you. I'm not qualified. Great. That means we don't have to undo all the bad teaching somebody's given you. That means that you don't got a bunch of pride in there saying, well, I know how to do this and I'll just take care and rip it up. That means you're totally qualified for ministry. And that's what we're looking for. You know, maybe you have an idea for ministry here at the church. I don't know, you know, but frankly, we can't do anything without you. No ministry will happen without you. We need your ideas. We need your ministry. We need to, and then we'll kick into gear and we'll train you and we'll provide for you and get you going in that and hold your hand along the way until you're ready to go. Staff's role is to provide vision and opportunity for the fulfillment of your gifts. And maybe you've had a passion in your heart, but you've always been afraid to kind of express that. I want to encourage you to do that, so that the ministry that God has placed on your heart can blossom and come into full fruition. Well, where do we go from here? What's the next step? Well, first of all, the first step in anything spiritual is to commit your life to Christ. You see, the Bible is full of this word called commitment. It doesn't always use that term, but it says things like trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That's commitment. And maybe you're here this morning and you haven't committed your life to Christ. You've acknowledged Him. You kind of admit that He's your Lord and your Savior, but you really haven't committed yourself to Him. Today is the day to get that taken care of. You need to commit yourself to Christ. First and foremost, to anything else, you need to commit yourself to Christ. Secondly, you need to commit yourself to the body of Christ. Now listen, I believe in being committed to a church body. And, you know, I'm not beating anybody up here, but one of the things that you need to know is that commitment is necessary for anything good to happen to the body of Christ. That's why marriage is a commitment. It says, I'm going to keep myself to you alone because the two of us together are better than two of us apart. And that is the same thing that's true. That's why Jesus calls the church the bride of Christ. That picture of marriage, of two together, is more powerful than two apart. And we need you. We need your commitment here. We need to know that you're going to be here. We need to know that you're committed to the body of Christ. That doesn't mean you can't take vacations, you can't enjoy life, you know, that you're signing up for 12 years of just drudgery and got to show up every stinking Sunday morning. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where your heart is. I'm talking about where your commitment is. You need to commit yourself to the body of Christ. And then thirdly, you need to pursue your calling and place in the body of Christ. Pursue. That means go after. That means just don't sit back and say, well, if Pastor really wants me to do something, he'll call and ask me. No. What I need to know is who's willing. What I need to know, what we need to know, is who's excited, who wants to be part of that, and pursue your calling and your place in the body of Christ. It's exciting to find out what God has called you to. It's exciting to be part of the movement that God is doing here at North Point. It's exciting to be part of the moving of God's Spirit. No one wants to be, you know, no one really wants to be a spectator. We want to be out there on the field, actually doing the work, having the fun, seeing the victory, feeling the joy, all of those things that go along with being part of the team. Part of the team. You can be a spectator or you can be part of the team. And we need you to be part of the team. See, this is the direction we're going. This is where we're following in Jesus Christ. We've got our GPS unit out. We're ready to go. We're on a journey together through the power of Jesus Christ. We're going to see victories won. We're going to see lives claimed for the kingdom of God. We're going to see people grow in the Spirit. We're going to see lives changed. And folks, that's what it's all about. There are people today that need to know Jesus Christ because their families are a wreck. Because their health is a wreck, because their lives are a wreck, emotionally they're a wreck, and their only hope is Jesus Christ. And if we stay in the four walls of the church and just have a good old worship time, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission. We need to be on the same page, going in the same direction. So that's where we're headed. That's what the next 4 weeks are going to be about. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning that you have called us to be part of North Point Assembly of God. God, we're not the only boat in the ocean, but God, you've placed us here, and we're glad to be part of it. So God, I pray this morning that you would speak to hearts and lives. Now while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I want to give you an opportunity because I try to do this every service. Maybe you've never committed your life to Christ, and that's the first step that you need to take this morning. If you need to commit yourself to Christ, I want you to just kind of raise your hand, get my attention somehow so I can pray for you. I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you in any way, but I'm going to pray for you right now that you'll commit your life to Jesus Christ. So if that's you, just real quickly, I'm not going to wait long.